this workshop. So, today I'm going to talk about a new proposed adaptive stockwell transform, and then illustrate its performance by considering the application in studying brain functions. So this kind of like part of my PhD thesis work. I graduated from York last year, and my major is applied mathematics. So currently I'm working as a scientist in the Kinectrica, which is a consulting company in nuclear power industry. Here is the outline of my presentation. So I'll start with a very brief introduction about the motivation of this this kind of work. So understanding how the brain function could be the most attractive or challenging like research topic in human history. But it was until the beginning of the 20th century people has discovered the electrical activity of the neurons, and then like believe that this kind of activity defines the functional activity of the brain. So why is like so late? Because this kind of activity is like the signal is really teeny tiny, like small. But following the development of the neural imaging techniques, so nowadays people are able to like non-invasively detect such teeny tiny signals, and this kind of signal provides us as the fundamental like sources to analyze the brain signal to understand how the brain functions, such as the EEG like the technique and the MEG technique. So the neural like oscillations is typically described like in terms of the rhythmic activity. Like the brain signal is divided into multiple bands by frequency, and each frequency band is associated with some specific behavior of a human being. Like the alpha wave here, so it's the first discovered brain wave like in history. It's in the frequency band from 8 to 12 hertz, and this is very, very common like wave in the brain. It can be observed in the relaxing and the reflect brain. So that's why it's the first discovered, like, and also they named it by the first Greek letter alpha. We also have the beta wave, like from 12 to 30 hertz, which corresponds to the active concentration, and then gamma wave is more higher, usually associated with more complicated like behavior, like perception and cognition needs. Because it's a frequent characteristic of the brain signal, spectral analysis becomes a very popular approach in analyzing the brain signals. So there are many challenges in studying modern brain research. The first one I want to address here is the non-stationarity, because like the brain the function is really very quickly, it's like transient. That's why people can make like such quick reaction. So. So that makes this the signal like detect signal show such kind of like the time varying like characteristics here. The second challenge in like the studying brain signals is like the variation of the signal structure, or we say this kind of the randomness, because people really hard to control your brain, right? You cannot like your brain to think something like do not like distracted by something else. Even people are doing the like experiment there. So you cannot in the lab when we study brain, we're gonna design the experiment and then ask people like repeated do this experiment several times and then study all these trials together to get a promising result. That means that we need some statistical analysis to come up with some like measures to study brain signals. The third challenging here is the interaction among the different brain regions, because the brain functions as an integrated network of the several like the regions. Like any like trivial behavior of human like will be involved the coordinator of the several like different like the cortexes of the brain, like the visual, like the motor, something like that. So it's really important to get some like measures to to measure the correlation of the correlation between the different like brain regions. So to sum up, so to deal with the first challenging, it means that we need advanced time frequency representation. That we will address in the second part. That's the topic of the second part section of my presentation. So I'm going to talk about the adaptive Stockwell transform. It's a adaptive multi-resolution time frequency representation. So when jump from the Fourier transform, Fourier analysis to the time frequency analysis, the most intuitive or simple way is just you apply a moving window on the like signal to localize, to capture the local characteristic of the signal. So that is the idea of the short time Fourier transform. Dr. Stockwell improved this kind of idea by combining the multi-scale analysis of wavelet theory. So basically, the window in the Stockwell transform is filled by one over the frequency. It implies a wide window will be applied to localize the low frequency component, and then a narrow window is we apply the high to capture the high frequency component. Why we say such a choice as an improvement? It's because the low frequency component like very slowly, so it needs longer time to complete one cycle there. But for the high frequency component, it like changes very rapidly. It only very few times like to complete a cycle. So in order like for window, in order to keep like always capture the same number of cycle like under the window, we're gonna adjust the width of window like correspond the frequency characteristic that's basically the idea of for the multi-scale analysis. However, so when we apply the short term Fourier transform to study real like problem, the first step people are gonna do are like we're gonna choose the width of the function, the width of the window, right? That's some kind of sigma. So we probably like decide which one is work better and which one not, then choose the better ones like to apply, depending on signal. But the Stockwell transform, although the frequency actually is here, it's a changing the window width is changing with the frequency variables here, but for any fixed frequency. So this window width is always fixed. It doesn't matter what signal you consider there, like it's always the same like the one over frequency. So this kind of reduces the flexibility like for the Stockwell transform to further adjust its time frequency resolution when studying the real signals. That's why the generalized Stockwell transform has been proposed in literature. So one is like the Penninger and the Meissner proposed using like the scale function like P over the frequency S, and then Dr. Sadic so proposed use the here function, the scale function is 1 over the S to the power Q. And so the added parameter here actually is used to control the window with the window width of the Stockwell transform, which we can adjust the value of the P and the Q to adjust the time frequency resolution of the Stockwell transform. So because we are in the math department, we're doing math, so we try to look at the functional structure of this kind of like the generalized Stockwell transform. So we propose that this is kind of the definition of this generalized Stockwell transform by combining these two variations of the frequency the scaling function together, which it's given here. So the function psi here is the window we consider, and then here is the shift, is like the moving part, and then here is the scaling function appears in this generalized Stockwell transform. So now we start with investigate the properties of this kind of generalized Stockwell transform. We look at some like fundamental properties which is true for the standard Stockwell transform, and then we say like most of the common properties is also hold for the, to the generalized stock well transform. So like just also get a frequency domain representation, which like you can get the generalized stock well transform by looking at the spectrum signal. This formula is usually used to calculate the numerically calculate the discrete stock well transform, because it's used it can be used the faster Fourier algorithm. Also, the major like advantage of the stock well transform is like just it's closely connected to the Fourier spectrum. If you integrate this stock well transform with the time variable, you can get the Fourier spectrum of signal. This is also it's also true for this for our proposed generalized stock well transform. So because this property it follows that you can reconstruct the original signal from the generalized stock well transform, just further apply the inverse Fourier transform on this form. So basically this property like kind of link the time representation, frequency representation, and then stock well transform like in the time frequency representation together. You can transform the signal from one domain to another domain, and then to time domain to frequency domain, and then to the time frequency domain. Now let's look at how this new parameter p and q to control the window with the function. As you can, if you look at this form here, you know the scale function here. Actually, this function is a linear function with respect to the parameter q, the p and parameter p, and it's a nonlinear like the power. The q is appear in the power. Like so, then if we can say actually if we increasing the value of p here, the window become like more wider. So here we, in this figure we fix the value of q and then increase the value of p from 1, 2, 3, and 5 and then become wider. And then if we also fix the value of p and then increase the value of q from like 0, 1, 2, still it become wider. But the influence is different. One is linear, the other is like it's more linear, it's more stronger here. To really like illustrate how this generalized the performance of this generalized stock well transform, we can look at like the time frequency representation. So we here we consider simulated signal which composed of a four sinusoidal with different frequency and then different time occurrence. So the this figure gives the spectral representation of this signal, but because the time information is missed here, so it's not you cannot tell us when this comes from like component like the frequency like happens there. So we need to look at this kind of non-spatial signal in the time frequency domain. So now here we put like several like generalized stock well transform with different value of p and q. So for the top three pictures here, we fix the value of p and then increase the value of fix value of p q and increase the value of p. And then we see because the window become wider, so the frequency resolution is improved, but that as with the composition like with the like composition of the lose the time resolution. So similarly we can be doing this for the another variable like q, and then the same thing but see this kind of because the strong influence of the power like because this is like the because here is a time resolution is really like poor, and then yes, so typically it mess up the whole structure. So now we can see that this kind of generalized stock well transform actually give us a class of representation with different like time frequency resolution there. So it's worth always like for some signals there will be some like parameters make it the generalized GST works better, but for other signals then we need to be looking for like the optimal like the prime we need to look for the other like values to get the better representation there. So the questions like here is like for a specific signal there, how to automatically identify the optimal parameters such that the GST provides a better resolution. So But we're looking for a signal adapt the optimal value of the parameters there. So the way we adopt here is that we try to measure the energy concentration. So I think people have already heard this kind of like approach in like today's like morning section. Dr. Sajic talked about like the same, like you can see this Stankovic, the measure here. This kind of measure the energy concentration of the representation. Why we see, we're looking like, why we think this energy concentration can be used as a like criteria to evaluate the performance of the representation. Because the Stockwell transform is a moving, it's a moving window, like moving window transform. So actually it's a itself actually linear transform. So the major drawback this kind of linear transform is the spread of the energy in the time frequency domain because of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. The spread the energy could like blur the true structure of the time frequency structure, and also if you have a multiple signal there, the spread energy can introduce like more artifact by overlapping. So we're looking for the representation with the highly concentrated energy. So it's like we're gonna minimize this Stankovic measure because this give you like the energy concentration. Like the lower the value, this means the value of this measure, like means the higher the energy concentration. So to think about this, so if you like the value of k goes to infinity, this measure will give you the measure the support of the representation, the time frequency domain. It means it measures the non-zero area of the in the time frequency domain. So the smaller like the value, I mean there's less like non-zero value, so it means the energy is more concentrated. In practice, in our approach we choose k equal to 2. But to make this ethical, we're gonna require that the representation we consider here it has to be an energy distribution. Like we need to, like if we integrate this distribution, it can give you like the total energy signal. Because we're gonna choose the different value of p and q and then measure the concentration. If the baseline requires this, no matter we change the value of p and q, we can always like get the same energy. If the energy is different, there's no sense to measure the concentration there. So it's very like crucial to get this get a form like for the generalized Stockwell transform to satisfy this energy distribution there. So unfortunately, we cannot for arbitrary like window function, we cannot find such like a form like make to like for the generalized Stockwell transform to satisfy the energy distribution. So we cannot sacrifice. So that's why we fix the value of p, like restrict it to be 1. Then we obtain this resolution of the identity formula. Like so, when the window function psi here satisfies this we can call this a admissibility condition. We can have this kind of formula. Like this part it give you it can be treated like an energy distribution because if you integrate this one, you get the total energy of the signal. So. So, but if the Q is not equal to 1, so for the GSST with the arbitrary window function, we cannot find such like energy distribution. But it doesn't mean that we cannot make this because here we consider it's an arbitrary window function. So we're still looking for, if we like think about maybe we can get some specific window, we can like for like any value P, we can probably like find out some like forms like that the energy distribution. So that gives us more flexibility to adapt the resolution there. That could be the future work of this kind of research. Okay, now we have this energy distribution form, but it requires the window function to satisfy this admissibility condition. So the original ST that was proposed with the Gaussian window function, but unfortunately the Gaussian window function doesn't satisfy this condition. So we got to make some adjustment for the Gaussian window. That's why we give like modify the Gaussian window here to like limit the singularity to make this the admissibility condition is satisfied. So this kind of work is very similar when people are doing like the molecular wavelet transform to like to adjust the Gaussian window to get to make it satisfy the admissibility condition of the molecular wavelet transform. So now with the general ST and the modified Gaussian window, we have a valid energy distribution. Then we can apply the optimization like approach to find the optimal value of the parameter Q there. First of all, here's an illustration like to verify the numerical like simulation to verify. So the energy obtained from the original signal and then from the generalized ST distribution, it's agree to each other. You can see it's a blue light gives the energy by integrate the square of the signal with the time variable. The red light is given by the integrate and then the representation in the time frequency domain, and then the right x-axis is the value of p. So we just switch the value of p and then measure the change, measure the energy of the based on this gt, and then it's pretty much the same. Now here is the procedure to determine the adaptive Stockwell transform. So we start with like calculate the generalized Stockwell transform with like different values p, and then we measure its energy concentration measure there, and then we like minimization of this value to find the optimum value of p. Then we call this GST with the optimization value of p and then one, q equal to one to be the adaptive Stockwell transform. And then we know that this p optimal actually is a signal like adapted. So different signals we can get a different like value of optimal p. So here is a numerical result. So we consider the signal we consider here actually as a two components. One is a chirp signal, the other actually is a signal with a parabolic like the instantaneous frequency. Then we measure the energy concentration with a different value of a p. So this is the concentration measure there. And then we minimize this measure and we found that the optimum value of p here is around 2.3, something like that. Now we present the results for this signal in the time frequency domain. So here, first one is a short time Fourier transform. We already choose a very good like the value of the window width, but still there's some like artifact or overlap here. The other one, this one is a molecular wavelet transform. You see there's some like overlap because the MG spread. The same thing like for the like here is the ST, because you see if you like the value of P and Q both equal to one, the general ST becomes the ST. So this ST is pretty much these two are the same, except the amplitude. But if you like use the optimum value of P like 2.35 there, and then here it give you this result. I see this because energy is concentrated for each component, just like no like overlapping, no less artifacts. So actually the AST here it gives the best result for this simulated signal. Yeah. Okay, now we can further like improve this approach when we apply this in the real application. So because the improvement can be done like when we consider a specific frequency, if you're only interested in the signal information like in a specific frequency band, we can just filter the signal, like filter all signal information outside this frequency band and then apply this concentration measure there, and then get a vector frequency like band specific optimal value there. So actually So for this MEG signal, we interested in two frequency bands. One is from the 1 to 30 Hertz. The other is from the 60 to 90 Hertz. So we can apply this approach, only look at the signal in this, like, in this frequency band here, and then the optimal p value is 1.45. This is the adaptive Stockwell transform result. And then for the higher frequency component, like higher frequency information component there, we apply again for this approach, and then we got the optimization value as a 3.85. You can see that if you use this optimal value for this high frequency component, it doesn't work well. So because you see here, use this 1.45 for this high frequency, you see there's a very poor frequency resolution there. And then similarly, we apply this optimization to the low frequency component, still there's a very poor time resolution there. So that's it. Shows that the power of the adaptive Stockwell transform. Now with this transform, this transform, we're going to propose some statistical measures, like to analyze the brain signal. You know that the brain signal actually is time series, just a randomness there. So we need to consider the time series theorem. So we propose three like measures there. The first one is the power, it's a time varying power spectra based on the GST. It can reveal the time varying like spectral characteristics of the single time series. And then we also, let's say, it's important to study the correlation or interaction between these like multiple like brain regions. So we also propose the coherence function and the phase locking function using the GST. So for general consideration, we use the GST here. The AST is specific case of this like by using the optimum value of P and then fixed Q equal to 1. So this tool actually measure the interaction from two different perspectives. So the time varying like power spectra was established like by the Dr. like Priestley like with the so-called evolutionary spectra. So the idea is like, so we treat this autocorrelation function as a two variable. It's a, one is a time and the other is a time lag, the difference between the two. Like, and then we can apply a localization function on this autocorrelation function, and then take the Fourier transform. It will give us a power spectrum measure in the time frequency domain. So in practice, the time frequency domain, like power spectrum can be easily obtained. If we have a bilinear time frequency representation, you just take the expectation value and then we call it a time varying power spectrum. So why people can do this? Because there's a very close link there. It can be shown through the so-called Cohen class distribution. So the Cohen class distribution actually is introduced by Leon Cohen, which is able to represent all the bilinear like representations. So we can define, like we can apply a expectation measure on this Cohen class distribution form, and then we can get the time varying power spectra, and then it can be shown that this definition is equivalent to the evolutionary like spectra given by the Priestley. So the kernel function in the Cohen class distribution actually functions as the localization in the evolutionary power spectra. So that actually gives us like the way to interpret all the time varying frequency power spectra. So like any this Cohen class based power spectra can be interpreted as an estimated evolutionary spectra. So we try to do this the same way to interpret the time varying power spectra given by based on the power like the generalized Stockwell transform. The definition is very simple. Just apply the expectation measure on this cross like the energy form like the cross time or the absolute value of the GST and the square. So to interpret, see if this can still be interpreted as a estimate the evolutionary power spectrum, we just like try to get the Cohen class form for this representation. So we have showed that, so here we give the theorem to show that this the generalized Stockwell transform can also be written as a generalized or extended Cohen class. Because why we call it extended? Because the kernel function here is not just the variable of t and tau. It also depends on the frequency, because the GST has a frequency like adapted resolution, resolution. So that makes it more complicated, but still it works. So it means that we can interpret this GST-based power spectra as an advanced estimation of the evolutionary spectra with a frequency-dependent localization like function. So now we move to the coherence function. So once we know the power spectra, right, the coherence function is very easily to be obtained, because the power spectra is defined by the Fourier transform of the autocorrelation function. So we can replace one variable, we have two time series. We can just replace, for the power spectra, we replace one signal by another, then we can get the cross correlation, and then we apply the Fourier transform, we get the cross spectra. The coherence function is nothing, just you normalize this cross spectra, which makes the value between 0 to 1, which is easily to be worked in the applications. So similarly, we can do the same thing for the we can do for any binomial, any time frequency representation. We consider a cross spectra defined and then normalize with the power the autocorrelation in the time frequency domain. We obtain such a coherence measure in the joint time frequency domain, and then this value between 0 and 1. So if it's equal to 1, it means that these two variables, two signals x and y are correlated to each other. If it's 0, it's they are independent. So now, what the coherence function really measures there? So the coherence function actually is measure the linear interrelation between two time series. So if we have two time series, one can be written as a linear transform of the other. So if we evaluate, put these two in the to calculate the coherence function, we can get the value the coherence function equal to 1. So basically, it shows that this measure the linear correlation interrelation. But the limitation of this coherence function is that it only measures both the effect of the amplitude and the phase in the interactions. So we come back to the brain signal. So we try to measure the brain activity between different regions. But neuroscientists discovered that the amplitude of this brain signal is kind of it's introduced by the local strength of the brain, the neurons or whatever. So the way the brain, different brain parts communicate to each other is the so-called phase synchronization. So if we use the coherence function there, we're gonna involve the measure of the amplitude, but this can nothing about how these two locations are communicated. So it's better to only consider the phase, to look at the phase synchronization to evaluate the interaction or communication between the different parts of the brain. So that's why the phase synchronization measure is very popular in studying the brain interactions there. It just requires that the phase difference of the two two signals is unchanged with time or with the trials, whatever. So the one we're going to extend here is called the space locking statistics, which is take is given by Lockchar in 1999. So basically here it takes the expectation value to the e to the power I times the phase difference. So how, like here is an illustration, like see how this measure the phase like synchronization. We consider like two signals, like with like multiple trials there. If we look at the fixed time instant, like time instant, if here is the two signals, and then we can represent this the phase in the phase plane or the polar like coordinator. This give the phase for the red one. This give the black one, and then we can measure the difference. Give you this arrow. You know, there's a line segment direct to this function, direction. So we can look at another trial, and then we can like look at like the phase, like the difference. And then if they are like because it's a phase, they are synchronized, it means that the phase difference is always the same. Like they all go like direct to the same direction. So then we take the excitation, we can get the same like same. Direction and be the same length, almost equal to one, and then the absolute value measure the length, which is equal to one, means that the value is equal to one. So if these phases are not synchronized, so for each like trial, this will be direct to different like direction there. So if you take the average or we take the expectation, they all cancel out each other. In the end, we get nothing there. So it means these two are not synchronized. So that's how this phase synchronization measure works there. So it's easy to be applied this kind of to use the Stockwell transform time frequency representation to define such a phase synchronization in the time frequency domain. Just take the two dimensional phase of the representation. But we showed that like we provide a approximation a formula of the phase of Stockwell transform and show that generalized Stockwell transform actually holds absolutely reference the phase information there. Like the phase of the provided by the GST is equal to the phase of the original signal plus a subtract like modulations. But it doesn't matter here because when we consider the phase synchronization, we always look at the synchronization at the same frequency. So this term will be canceled out for each other. So this will be measure the real the phase synchronization of the original signals there. So actually here the theory we consider here, we assume that the function actually is a Gaussian function. There's a general approximation formula of the with the ST is a generalized window function which can given by the Professor Wang in 2010. So then we define this phase synchronization statistical based using the GST. And then it's very trivial, very simple. Like we just normalize each representation with this amplitude to remove the effect of the energy, and the only here one left is going to be the phase of the GST. The same for the other one. So we take this one and give you, if you plug in the approximation formula, it will give you equal to the definition of the original, like the phase locking statistic. And then, but it provides a synchronization measure in the like in the joint time frequency domain. The phase actually is the same for the form is same. Actually here is the filter phase of the signal at a considered frequency. Okay, now we have proposed like several measures to studying the brain like the signals like in terms of this like the randomness something like that. So now we going to apply all the proposed measure to a real application to look at to study the motor activity using a specific task, the multi-source interference task. So this is a task that was designed to study normal human cognition and psychiatric pathology logic. So it's a very simple task. Actually, almost all the like experimental tasks to study the brain function is very simple. It has to be like as everybody can be the subject to perform it. So this task behavior experiments involve like multiple levels of difficulty. There's a two like different types of trials. Like one is the simple one is called the control trials. The other one is called the interference trials. So the task is very simple. Like say when the subject doing this task, he's gonna be sitting there, there's a three buttons in front of him, like with a number like 1, 2, 3. And then after a short like waiting period, there'll be three digit appears in the screen. The subject was asked to identify the one which is different from the other two, and then press the corresponding like the button with the same number. So here is a case like for the control trial, a simple case. So now we see, yeah, two of them are the same, like zero. The one different from that, the other is a number two. The subject just need to press the button two to make the response. Why we say this trick simple? Like, yeah, we know this simple, right? Because here we have we call this a two identity, like the numbers as detractors. But in this case, control trial, the detractor will always be zero. But there's no zero button there. You want to make that mistake. Also, for this, the correct answer is two. It's located in the middle of this three numbers, the same as the button you're gonna press. So, in other words, there's no spatial like interference for this task. It means that you want to see some like the trial with like something like 002. This won't appear because the location is different. Like, so now once the subject press the button, there'll be like a slight screen and then waiting for another trial. So now here is a case for the interference trial, which is more complicated. Still, the subject, you're doing the same thing there to identify the number which is different from the other two and press the button. So this one, you know, the answer should be right there, should be three. Okay, but look at if you compare this trial with the control trial, you see the detractor here become two, right? But the two is one of the button number there. So also, you see the location of the button, like the correct number, like it's like the left, it's not matched to the button you're gonna press. So this adds some like so-called spatial like interference there. So this two interference like add some difficulty for the subject to perform this task. So until like I think this work has been done like when at the time I write up this thesis. So it's at the early of previous years we have a collect like 10 subjects the data, and then we measure this the activity, like brain activity using MEG machine, and then for each subject you're gonna perform like totally 116 trials, but you're gonna do this all like in the same time, like continuously, but also the trial are randomly distributed. Like you perform this trial, maybe a control, you don't know what will come up next, control or interference. So we cut off the data and then we set up the time zero to be the time when the subject press the button, and then it means that most brain activity will be occur before this time zero, and then we remove some like incorrect response. So we study we have done two studies. One is study look at the activities at contralateral motor cortex in the gamma frequency band. The other is look at the correlation or connection between this contralateral motor cortex and the ipsilateral motor cortex in the alpha and the beta band. So I won't go through the details. That's some method like we do, like some statistical we're gonna measure to look at the difference between this performance in the two types of experiment. So this result we see the location of the activity in the motor cortex can be identified there. Then we use a localization method to track the MEG signal at the peak of this highlight area. Then we apply the adaptive method, like to measure the energy concentration to determine which, like the value of the optimal parameter P going to be used for this study. And then we show that this is for the study, the study activity in the 60 to 90 Hertz, we cannot use something like around between 2 and 3. So here the study like compare the activities between the control trial and the interference trial. We see there's a more like activity when people doing the interference trials. Also this more means that it has lots of early reaction, like the activity for the brain cortex to deal with the interference. Also, we also look at group the trials based on the reaction time for each condition. Like here, we just show the interference condition, because you see, for some trials, people may react very slowly. Probably they get some trouble there, because it probably depends on the previous the trials. Maybe the previous is a simple one. You make it a harder one, you need more time to think of how to do it. So that's we look at compare this two for the fast and the slow group. We see that there's a significant statistical significant difference for the early reaction to make the response. Okay, this summary. Now we look at the coupling between these two locations. One is the left, the control lateral motor cortex. The other is the right. And see if communication between these two motor cortex there. So this is the location with the same method. So we identify the peak location for each region, and then extract the MEG signal for analysis. So because this is a low frequency, the optimal P value of P reduced to between 1 to 1.5. And then our study showed there's some specifically we can look at this the phase synchronization, there's some correlation around that alpha frequency band between these two locations with the motor cortex. It's even you use the right hand, you need the left hemisphere motor to control behavior, but you sometimes still need some the help of the same side the motor cortex to help to make its response. It's a very interesting result. So, okay, now I'm going to sum up with the presentation. So the motivation of work is to investigate the functional activity of the motor cortex under the with a multi-source interference task. So to get a better time frequency analysis tool, we start look at the generalized Stockwell transform. In order to make the optimization procedure work, we have restrict to the GST with the Q equal to 1, and then we have to modify our Gaussian to make it satisfy the energy concentration distribution form. And then we apply this optimization, you can get the optimal value of the P there, which will give you the adaptive, adapt to the GST, could be better performed. Then we further propose some the statistical measures for the purpose of studying the brain functional activity, including the power spectra, the coherence, and then the phase locking statistics. But this all because they are all in the time frequency. In the time frequency domain. So, a bit of the future work. So, now, for the purpose the energy distribution form available, we have restrict the value of Q equal to 1. But, we're still looking for some specific function, window function, we can consider the optimizations like procedure with arbitrary value of Q there, then it be make it more flexibility to adapt to the resolution of the generalized Stockwell transform. So also we are interested in extended adaptive approach to multiple dimensional Stockwell transform. So to be speak of the application, we're also interested in like develop advanced time frequency domain measure to study that cross frequency coupling. Like it's just like so the phase locking or what the coherence only measure the correlation at the same frequency, but like some brain communication like will be beta communicate to gamma or something like that. So we're gonna be looking for some measure for that. And also the other needed measure for that studying brain like interaction is the unidirectional. Like you just only want to know these two parts are communicated or not. You want to see which one start like initialize the communication, like erase the like the direction like from A to B or B to A. So besides that, with this adaptive Stockwell transform, we're also interested to study the instantaneous frequency of the non-stationary signal. So far, I have twice used the reassignment method to track the instantaneous frequency. Here, it kind of like results, this is standard ST. So we apply the generalized Stockwell, the adaptive Stockwell transform. So and then we apply the reassignment stuff, like you can get a better, like detect the instantaneous frequency of the multiple signal component. Also like for from the first talk in the morning, so we have heard that this is a so-called cycle grid like method. We also interested in apply that method to our adaptive Stockwell transform, I think, to see if we can get a better result. Because the reassignment method cannot be used to reconstruct the signal information. But the one they talk about in the morning is more interesting. Okay, in the end, I'd like to thank Dr. William Gates from the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia for providing all the experimental data there. And also my supervisor, Professor Hongmei Zhu from New York, to guiding my research. And then, question. Theoretically, here is a numerical approach to find out the value, But it's interesting to look at theoretically analysis for any specific. But the real signal, you do not know the form of signal, right? It's a kind of